Greetings to the broadest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Here are the topics we'd like to cover. New Zealand, their magnitude 7.8 earthquake, and the mysterious lights. They're called mysterious when the media reports on these. They're earthquake lights. They're not mysterious at all. And from our Friday's Real Science Radio show, we have an update explaining to people what earthquake lights are. And now there's video. Increasingly, with all the cameras everywhere, we're getting videos when earthquakes strike at night. And it's fascinating why it happens. And if you study the global flood, and especially Walt Brown's hydroplate theory, then when science news hits the headlines, typically you understand why, when everyone else is saying, what in the world? What's causing these earthquake lights? We'll get to that also. The last 8 months have seen precipitous worldwide cooling. This is a catastrophe. Burn as much coal and oil as you can. We gotta warm this thing up. So global warming has taken a big hit over the last 8 months with record cold temperatures. And you gotta see the worldwide. This is satellite data. So this is the best data. These are land temperatures, and it's just astounding. And these are the most sophisticated measurements we have available from a satellite system measuring the global land temperatures. And if you look at the chart starting about in the late 1970s, it's just, I mean, it goes up gradually, comes back down, but now there's been a precipitous drop over this past year. So that's real interesting. We'd like to cover a bit more on that. The pro-death penalty laws passed in three states. There's a nun who opposes the death penalty. Back, 2 years ago, I had a meeting with a local Catholic activist who's against the death penalty. And so it was a private meeting, but then I went right into the studio and we recorded a show. We aired a program. And it was stunning the extent to which the death penalty opponents, who are Christian or say that they're followers of Jesus Christ, they have no idea anything. They know nothing about the New Testament support for the death penalty. And it's as though they have never considered the matter. Now, this one nun is telling her supporters, don't worry, Nebraska wants to execute convicted murderers. But there's a shortage of the lethal drug to execute criminals, nationwide shortage. So don't worry, they won't be able to kill anybody. Why is it that there's plenty of the stuff in Colorado, in Oregon, in Washington to kill the innocent who are ill? But they say there's none of the lethal drugs to kill the guilty who've been convicted sometimes of mass murder. So liberals, we know, leftists, they support protecting the guilty and killing the innocent. That's the mark of a true liberal, is they support killing the innocent and protecting the guilty. Okay, also we have Donald Trump last night on 60 Minutes. He spoke about abortion. Do we have that audio? We've got that. Okay, I'd like to get to that. And Cheryl and I, my wife and I, were still applying for health care. We've been applying for weeks. What a nightmare. And we didn't want the whole Obamacare thing. And we're told whether it's going for Blue Cross Blue Shield or Kaiser Permanente, whatever. Sorry, you got to go through the Obamacare system. It's just shocking. It's horrific. And Donald Trump is going to make it worse because he wants to keep the government interventionist aspects of Obamacare, like insurance companies have to insure you even if you're dying of cancer, whatever. Whatever pre-existing condition, tough, they got to cover you. That is socialism. That's outright socialism. And also, he says he especially likes how people get to stay on their parents' health insurance plan until they're 26. And interventionism is immoral. Government interventionism, often most of it socialism, is immoral, and so it backfires. And so you make it a law that insurance companies have to keep young people on their parents' policy till 26. And you know what the unintended consequences are? Millions of young people have another excuse not to grow up. They don't grow up. They're coddled like snowflakes on college campuses. And Donald Trump thinks it's a wonderful thing. Oh, yes, the government has to require that. So he's a socialist child killer, but It'll be interesting to see. There'll be a lot of denial among the Christians who supported him, just like with John Roberts, U.S. Supreme Court Justice. And it doesn't matter if he upholds Obamacare or whatever wickedness he's done as a Supreme Court Justice. Those who supported him, and I've confronted some of them face to face, like, for example, Hugh Hewitt. They just continue to lie and misrepresent and say, oh, he's a conservative Christian. He's doing everything great. You know, there's a couple minor issues we disagree. But really, he had a good reason for ruling that Obamacare is legal and all. So James Dobson did the same thing about Samuel Alito, who he supported going to the U.S. Supreme Court. And as a federal judge, Alito struck down a ban on partial birth abortion in New Jersey, which ban James Dobson supported. And then when he struck it down, and we wrote to Dr. Dobson, don't support this guy, he's a child killer. And Dobson wrote back, oh, he had to strike it down. He had no choice. He had no choice? I mean, if you're an adult, you have a choice. And you don't support the killing of innocent children. So Dobson said, well, he had to strike it down because of precedent. Isn't it astounding that liberal judges will stand on their belief system, but conservative judges will say, well, you know, and they're not conservative anyway, but, well, you know, it's killing them is the way it's got to be. You just got to kill them. If it were Jews, yeah, you got to gas them. If it were blacks, hey, you got to lynch them. If it's babies, hey, you got to dismember them because I got to follow precedent. That's what Dr. Dobson said. That's called moral relativism, legal positivism, situational ethics. It's wrong. But our Christian leaders don't know too much about right and wrong, tragically. Oh, and then the homeless. I briefly mentioned this on Wednesday last week, but expect the media to suddenly care a lot about the homeless. I mean, for the last 8 years, they almost could care less. But I'd say, here's our prediction, Bob and Hurt Live. Beginning on, let's pick a date, Monday, January 23rd, expect the media to care a lot about the homeless, because that's when Donald Trump will be inaugurated on the Friday, a few days before, and so Obama will no longer be in office, and since we've had a reprieve on reporting about the homeless for 8 years, the media couldn't care less about the homeless because a Democrat is in the White House, now expect them to suddenly fly up on their radar screen. They're going to really care a lot about the homeless beginning January 23rd. Okay, so those are the issues we'd like to cover. So the New Zealand earthquake and the tsunami that accompanied it, it was maybe, what, about 10 feet high, the waves at the highest points or so. Strong earthquake, magnitude 7.8. If you have an earthquake, magnitude 6.0, it generates an electrical current on the order of 100,000 amps. Amps, that's a lot. Now, a magnitude 7, about 1 million amps. That's a lot of electricity. At Wellington, the epicenter was between Christchurch and Wellington. And this was a 7.8, magnitude 7.8 earthquake. Very powerful. And the death toll, I believe, is relatively small compared to earthquakes in other regions and Italy and elsewhere, but I think two people were killed, a number injured, but there were lights flashing during the earthquake, and there were at least two videos, and you could see one of these videos at our website, kgov.com/EQL. That's easy, no? Earthquake lights? kgov.com/EQL. We embedded a video for one of those. So you can see the earthquake lights for yourself. It's a really a beautiful scene overlooking a bay there in Wellington, New Zealand, south part of the country. And when the earthquake hits, you see car lights begin to flash, like car alarms, because you could see a large part of the city there. And then off in the upper left of the video, you could see these lights flashing. It looks like lightning, and it's earthquake lights. So it happened. We've been reporting on this for a few years now. It happened in 2014 in Napa Valley, California, and CBS San Francisco reported witness reports of light flashing during the earthquake. And the journal Seismological Research Letters has recently done a paper on documenting earthquake lights. And they're said to be rare, you know, just the same way dinosaur soft tissue was said to be rare. And the reason it's said to be rare is because the accepted theories don't do a great job of explaining why you can have lightning when there are earthquakes. But the studying the global flood in the hydroplate theory, we know exactly why there are earthquake lights. And the lightning that flashes beneath the crust in the rock, which explains why the radioactivity on the Earth, the vast majority of it, is in the continental crust, preferentially near granite. Because when you compress granite, you create a voltage. You make an electrical current then. And the greater the compression, the more the amperage. And so eventually you have enough electricity to squeeze elements together from the periodic table and make thorium and make uranium and so on. And so that's why this stuff is near granite, because granite is 25% quartz. So you squeeze together quartz, you apply pressure, you make voltage. We know, my kids have operated a science experiment with a piece of quartz, and there's a meter, wires hooked up to it, and you squeeze a vise, and you could register the voltage. So anyway, you might want to learn more about that if you go to kgov.com/, well, you can spell it out, earthquake lights. kgov.com/earthquake lights. I think you'll be fascinated. All right, now, next topic is the last 8 months of global cooling. I mean, it's significant. We're going to add this chart to our cooling page, kgov.com/cooling. Also, kgov.com/warming. It's the same page. It's really interesting. So we have on that page simple listing of all the evidence against global warming. And it's really, is it global warming or is it global cooling? Because there was warming going on for a while, but it ended about 18 years ago. And we reported that, like early this year. And now, and that's where the warming trend had ended, and now the cooling is precipitous over the last 8 months. And so you got to see the chart, and it's based on satellite data, which is awesome, because Earth-based weather systems easily are affected by local conditions. And when you get the temperature of entire continents, this is the global land temperature cooling over, you know, approaching 2 degrees Fahrenheit. Just awesome. Okay. So what else? Oh, you know the hockey stick that Al Gore made famous? The graph that showed, you know, for centuries, Earth's temperature was constant, then it precipitously has increased in the last few decades. Well, the data for that graph is lost. The scientists who produced the graph, and by the way, they're propagandists. There have been so many scandals coming out of the elite of the elite, the IPCC, the International Panel on Climate Change. There have been so many scandals, scandal after scandal. It's all a fraud. It's all propaganda. And so they lost the data for making the hockey stick. Now, can't they just recreate it if it's true? Can't they just say, well, here's the data? And we have that in our You Can't Make This Stuff Up file here at Bob and Yurt Live and Real Science Radio, that the hockey stick data has gone missing. And then there's also global warming on Mars. We've got on Mars, real serious problem, global warming. And there are only two SUVs on Mars, and they're solar powered. So big problem. I mean, if the sun heats up a little bit, right, you get a little bit of warming. Sort of happens. And then, of course, you had the ice age with much of North America under hundreds of feet of ice and snow, and it melted, and it had nothing to do with the industrial age. After the global flood, there was a tremendous amount of snow and ice on parts of, you know, northern parts of the northern hemisphere and elsewhere. It's because the continents were higher after the global flood and thousands of feet higher. And over the coming centuries, they sunk back into the mantle. And that's why sea level rose. And that's why you have submerged settlements of ancient man around the world. Even in what? In the Caribbean, the Mediterranean. On coastal settlements were submerged where mankind, after the global flood, first started to build along the coast, which was natural, And those were all, we were in Greece. You want to go see an ancient temple? It's half submerged. I mean, it's all fallen down, but the foundation is still there, and it's mostly underwater. So the whole global warming story, the actual global warming period where there has been recent warming, it began 135 years ago. That's what researchers are saying now. And the claim that by this year there would have been no ice in the Arctic, right? So much for that claim. The amount of ice increased compared to a few years ago by hundreds of thousands of square kilometers. So the whole thing, it's fascinating. Just go to kgov.com/warming, or you could go to kgov.com/cooling, same page, no difference. You find out about the Arctic global warming expedition that got stuck in the ice. That was funny, right? And the Antarctic global warming scientists who were rescued from too much ice. These are all different stories. And the Rio de Janeiro's International Climate Conference attendees, they shivered in the coldest June temperatures in recorded history. That was so fun. And the global warming trek that made it less than halfway to the North Pole because the temperatures were far colder than expected. And the expected biggest global warming protest ever was froze out in Washington, D.C. And it just goes on and on and on. It's just so funny. Al Gore, his doomsday warming talk at Harvard was greeted by 125-year low temperatures. It's called the Gore effect, right? Whenever there's a big global warming event, you got blizzards and freezing cold temperatures. They predicted that there'd be less ice. And you know the predictions that there'd be less ice, right, on the poles. And they've reversed that recently. They've begun saying that global warming produces too much ice. So it's all. I mean, it's as interesting as could be. Global warming causes small fish. The fish are too small. Global warming causes big fish. The fish are too big. And it goes on and on and on. So I think you'll enjoy it. And you'll see our scan of a textbook. And you'll see our scan of a science book from back in the 60s on global cooling. And you could learn about all the fear of global cooling back in the 60s. And then the 9,000 PhD scientists who signed a anti-global warming petition. PhD, 9,000 PhD scientists who think the global warming scare is bunk. Okay, so now, what else? Well, the pro-death penalty laws that passed in three states, in Oklahoma, Nebraska, and California, those are good because God says that it is profaning him to kill people who should not die and keep people alive who should not live. And that describes leftism, right? Liberals, they want to kill the innocent, unborn children, and infirm through, for example, Colorado's Proposition 106 that passed, our suicide euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide bill. And so God condemns the killing of the innocent in the Bible, and he commands the killing of those convicted of capital crimes. But you have a nun quoted in this Yahoo News story who is telling her, and she's well-known, Helen Prejean. They made a movie about her. And she's telling her supporters, no need to worry because you can't purchase lethal drugs because there is a shortage. So there will be no executions anytime soon. Hey, you think we could get her here in Colorado to let everyone know that you're not going to be able to euthanize the innocent because there's a shortage of the lethal drugs? Do you think we could do that? And then Donald Trump was on 60 Minutes, and he was asked about abortion and changing the Supreme Court. And right away, he tried to change the topic to guns. I don't know if he thinks that they use guns to abort children. I guess he doesn't think that. That would have unintended consequences. But we do make that point, you know, when it comes to euthanizing, like Dylan Walborn, the six-year-old boy here in Colorado who was killed. Denver's Children's Hospital recommended killing Dylan because he was severely handicapped, and they did kill him. And we ask on the homepage of Colorado Right to Life, if they would have used the gun, would more people have realized it was wrong? Even killing unborn children, if they would use a gun, would more people realize that it's wrong? Euthanasia, you're going to kill grandma, give her a lethal dose. I know, she takes it. She takes the lethal dose, the poison to kill her. But if you just use a gun, would more people recognize that it was wrong? The 65% who support the death culture in Colorado who voted for Proposition 106, if they would use a gun, would more people realize it was wrong? But at any rate, you've got that audio. Let's go to this. This is Donald Trump. And for Donald Trump to use CBS 60 Minutes to conduct the first interview after he won the election, it's not surprising because even though they disagree on all kinds of substantive issues, they really agree on all kinds of substantive issues. I mean, they know he's radically pro-homosexual. He celebrates homosexuality. He's even in support of homosexual marriage. He is a socialist, supports government health care reform. He just wants it his way, which would be different from Obama's way, but maybe not too much different. But either way, it's immoral because the government has no right to intervene in private business decisions. And in fact, Donald Trump is a hardcore interventionist wanting the government to intervene. That's what socialism is. He'll just have a slightly different flavor of socialism. And so anyway, he chooses 60 Minutes for his first interview, and they ask him about abortion. And so let's see how that goes.
During the campaign, you said that you would appoint justices who were against abortion rights. Will you appoint, are you looking to appoint a justice who wants to overturn Roe v. Wade?
So look, here's what's going to happen. I'm pro-life. The judges will be pro-life. They'll be.
But what about overturning this law?
There are a couple of things. They'll be pro-life. They'll be in terms of the whole gun situation. We know the Second Amendment, and everybody's talking about the Second Amendment, and they're trying to dice it up and change it. They're going to be very pro-Second Amendment. But having to do with abortion, what it, if it ever were overturned, it would go back to the states. So
yeah,
it would go back to the
some
states.
Some women
and the states
won't be able to get an abortion.
No, it'll go back to the states.
By state? No, some.
Yeah. Well, they'll perhaps have to go to they'll have to go to another state.
And that's okay.
Well, we'll see what happens. It's got a long way to go, just so you understand. That has a long, long way to go.
So they'll perhaps have to go to another state. So does that sound like someone who knows that killing the Jews is wrong or lynching blacks is wrong? Well, we're going to stop the lynching of blacks in Mississippi. Well, yeah, but what if people really want to lynch their blacks? Well, they might have to go to Georgia, maybe, you know. They just might have to go somewhere else. And so the whole states' rights nightmare is the perversion, the sickness that was injected into pro-life politics and even the Republican Party by libertarians like Ron Paul, who believes that the federal government should not stop any state that wants to kill unborn children. That's Ron Paul's so-called pro-life law for many years, is that if the states pass abortion, California, New York, Massachusetts, Washington, Oregon, wherever, then so be it. So be it. We are all supposed to look the other way. And so that states' rights issue, there is an awesome article about it at American Right to Life's website, and it shows how contemptible it is. States have the responsibility to prosecute murder. They do not have the authority to decriminalize murder. They have the responsibility to prosecute kidnapping, theft, rape. They do not have the authority to decriminalize kidnapping. Kidnapping, stealing, rape. And so I realize that's pretty difficult of a concept for a lot of people. But states' rights, when it comes to the criminal code, is an abomination. And it's yet another window to the soul. You know, right now, if people Google Trump pro-life, still, on the first page, out of so many possible pages, you find our website, prolifeprofiles.com. And I'd say it's on, what, the top half of the first page? prolifeprofiles.com/Donald Trump. And on that profile, there's now a post-election update. There's a prediction about what Donald Trump will do now that he's in office. You know, exceptions are a window to the soul. Because if you say that there are some children who do not deserve protection by love and by law, then you are a child killer. And you might just disagree around the edges with Roe v. Wade, but basically you support child killing. And you hear that every time Donald Trump speaks. He might score a campaign point by talking about late-term abortion, partial birth abortion, but who cares? What Republican hasn't? And even half of the Democrats, including famous ones, have spoken against partial birth abortion. And we banned partial birth abortion many years ago. What's the difference? As Dr. James Dobson wrote, it did not save a single human life. And you could see that at AmericanRTL.org, American Right to Life, AmericanRTL.org/PBA, partial birth abortion. Didn't stop a single abortion. Okay, and so then, of course, Trump's threat to nominate judges like Scalia, because Scalia said if you pass a law that bans abortion nationwide, he would strike it down. He rejected that the unborn child has a right to life and that the unborn child is a person. And so the reason most Christians don't know this is because our leaders have misrepresented the truth. From James Dobson to David Barton, Ann Coulter, Robert Jeffress, Ben Carson, Jay Sekulow, Billy Graham, Lila Rose, Pat Robertson, Gary Bauer, Sarah Palin, Glenn Beck, Eric Metaxas, Penny Nance, Tony Perkins, Kirk Cameron, who else? Phyllis Schlafly, Mike Huckabee, Ron Paul, Ted Cruz. They're all silent on the truth about our Republican pro-life leaders and judges. You know, George W. Bush, he was against funding Planned Parenthood too, only he doubled the funding to $2 billion, a billion more than Bill Clinton was able to give them. How's that? And that's when he had control of the House and the Senate and the Supreme Court. And George H.W. Bush began Planned Parenthood funding with Title X funding. Yeah, so it's all a scam. And it'll be interesting to see how the Christians who voted for Donald Trump, how they will lie, minimize his wickedness, and lie about anything good they claim he does. May God bless you.